The first number is 545. The first number is 545. And just for those of you that are curious, the reason we put the numbers there is so that if someone listens later, they can tell me the beginning and ending codes, and I know that they did listen to the recording. And I am getting some feedback, so I guess if everybody can put themselves on mute and then just come off mute when you have a question or a comment, then that'll probably
Donna.
Yeah.
Is the reason people need a number, are you offering continuing education units for this?
Not able to offer continuing education units, unfortunately, but I am keeping track of education, and maybe in the future I will explore that. And for some organizations, they don't make you register. So like if you have your BCC, I think they don't make you register them. So you could count it for that. So for some organizations, you could. But for ICF, you have to register them, and I haven't done anything like that for that. But we may in the future do that. I'll have to find out how much work it is to get that registered. So good question, though. Okay, so getting started, one thing I wanted to say about LinkedIn is you really do get the effort that you put into it back. I was talking with somebody last week that had been on since 2005, and she said to me that all the great things that have happened in her career have happened through LinkedIn. And I could say that a ton of really fantastic things have happened for me through LinkedIn. I was talking to Sharon a couple months ago, and she asked, how did South Coast Water District come to me? And they came to me through LinkedIn. So, and that's been a really good contract for us. Chris, I was...
And Donna, actually, you and I met through LinkedIn, too.
Yes, that's true. And several of the people on this call I met through LinkedIn. So a lot of really wonderful, long-term, very fruitful relationships and friendships have come through LinkedIn. So I highly encourage you to put effort into it because you get back what you put into it. Chris, I was going to have you share, too. Since the last call that we had, you put in some really good effort into it, and you got some wonderful things back on it, and you coached a client also that got some wonderful things back. And so I wanted you to share that, if you wouldn't mind.
No, not at all. I'll start with my client. He was wanting to go back into a directorship, and he wasn't getting any people interested in what he wanted to do. I had coached him when we were both at EDS, and so he came back to me because that had gotten him his first job outside of EDS when he retired. So I looked at his resume. We totally redid that. We put his summary information into his LinkedIn profile, just that. And a couple days later, I got a message, pardon what he said, but it was, holy crap, I'm getting 3 to 5 different people calling me on interviewing me. He said, I almost don't know what to do with them all. So, and he was doing that every day, and we just talked last week, and he was still getting interview requests. So it really worked well for him. And most of it happened through LinkedIn, like 90% of it happened through LinkedIn. So it's very fruitful that way for clients when you're able to have them redo their summary profile and add some keywords like for him it was IT director, and he was able to get more views because of that. In my own case, I have over 700 connections. And when I looked at my LinkedIn, you know, where do you fall in the list of views, I was like 249. Within a week, I was down to 150, and currently I'm at 94 out of 712. I've had people wanting to connect in various ways, you know, working together, asking me about whether I wanted a job opportunity, just different things like that. I have added a lot more into my executive potential job description, and I'm going to add it also into the Glacier Point Solutions job and all the way down. I just haven't had the time to put those into effect.
Yeah, but you revised your summary. You put more keywords in your summary.
Yes.
You revised your headline.
Yes.
And you were saying you were getting many more link requests and views every week because of it. So
I'm getting like 16 views a week when before it was getting one or zero or two or three.
So that shows you right there. And thank you so much for that, Chris. And the reason I want to share that is because if you have stories like that that you can share with your clients, then that will help you let them know that, you know, they need to put the effort into LinkedIn. So you can use, you know, those stories.
I got a quick question. Do you know that because you're on a premium account or a regular account, Chris?
I'm on a regular account.
Okay, thank you.
You can look at that. Well, and you can just see the people sending you link requests, if nothing else. So,
and I haven't done anything with groups. I do spend around 15 minutes on LinkedIn now, and I look at different things. I put in comments and do other things as well. So that might have something to do with it as well. I looked at the premium account, but if you've never done it, had it before, it's now the new rate, which is $50 a month, and I'm not ready to do that yet.
Yeah, and what I tell clients is if you're in a job search, you can do the premium account monthly, see how it does for you, and you can cancel it in a month if you want to. So, but yeah, they have raised the rate on the premium account. But, you know, when you do something on LinkedIn, it's not like Google. You will see the results immediately. And so, you know, I've done this where I've gone in and made changes, and you know, within a week you'll see the changes.
So, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I just want to encourage all of you to do work yourself on your own profiles, but also encourage your clients because it will make a difference. So thanks for that, Chris. So I wanted to let you know that I did rearrange the information on the Donna Schilder website on LinkedIn. I was trying to figure out a way to make it make sense, and what I've done is I've put both the regular information that anybody would need and the job search stuff together on one page and divided it. So the first column is LinkedIn for your personal brand, which is what everyone would need. And the second column is what you would need for job search. And I've then made a page for profile, and it's organized in the same way. Everything that you would need for personal brand and then any extras that you would need for job search. Did the same thing going back to that main page for network, for groups, and so forth. And I even have LinkedIn company pages. So those of you that have been working with these pages, they're organized a little bit differently, but it's all the same information. Sorry, I won't do a reorg again. This will be it. But I was just trying to find a way so that, because all the job search people need all the information, and the people that aren't in a job search just need part of the information. So found a way to organize it that made sense, and wanted to just call your attention to that. Those of you that haven't looked through this information, there's a lot of really good information on LinkedIn here. And in your training guide, I think it starts on page 5, it highlights some things that you, I highly suggest you take a look at. So just a very quick overview there. We are in our training guide starting on page 10, and I would like you to look at the skills section because that's where we're starting. For the skills section, and by the way, there was two other areas that have a high impact. I'm getting some background noise, somebody putting their phone down.
Yep, my went flying around, sorry.
Okay.
I was on mute, and the next thing I know, it went off mute and flying.
Okay, no problem, things happen.
Donna?
Yeah.
Where would I get the training guide? I'm not sure I have that.
It was attached to the email that I sent out on Friday.
There it is. Thank
okay,
you.
There it is. Good. Thanks for asking. So on page 10 of that document, the skills section page gives a couple of tips. And to talk about your skills section, as we had talked about before, there are three sections of your profile that have the biggest impact on your search engine, your LinkedIn search engine, and that was your headline, your job titles, and the skills section. Everything else that's in your LinkedIn profile also impacts the search engine. Any word in your profile affects the search engine, but those three things, the headline, the job titles, and the skills section impact it the most. Your skills section, you can put up to 50 skills in your skills section. I highly recommend you put 50 skills in your skills section because it's such a valuable place. And when you put them in, when you're typing them in, and this is me in edit mode right now, when you type a word in the skills section, it auto-populates, and you can see right now I'm in edit, and I'm showing you what I mean by auto-populate. When I typed the word coaching, it auto-populated everything that it has that ties to coaching. It's got executive coaching, wellness coaching, sports coaching, job coaching, life coaching, and so forth. These are all the terms that are in the actual search algorithm for LinkedIn that it auto-populates when you type in that term. I highly suggest that people choose the terms that it auto-populates because that is tied into the search algorithm. You can type in any word you want and save it, and it will save it for you, but it's not as keyed in to the search algorithm as the ones that drop down. Now, eventually, if enough people type that term in, it'll get scooped up into the search algorithm, but while it isn't in there, it's not going to have as much impact. So I say choose the terms that are in there, you know, for now. If I typed in the word engineer, it's going to auto-populate the terms that it has that are in the search engine that are tied into it. And I would suggest choosing those. So that's what I mean by choosing what's auto-populated into the search algorithm. I'm going to flip over, and I'm going to be looking at Chris's skills for a moment. Usually, LinkedIn will not talk about the search algorithm. They like to keep it secretive, although there's lots of people researching it, and I myself have researched it, and I kind of know some things about how it works, but nobody can ever say for sure. But Jeff Weiner, the CEO of LinkedIn, did do an interview a year ago, and he did say skills does highly impact the search engine, and he said endorsements impact the search engine, and that's what these little pictures here are, people who have endorsed you for those skills. And he said that if colleagues endorse you that are in your same industry, that impacts the search algorithm even more. So, for example, if you're a coach and a coach endorses you, that impacts the search algorithm more than if an engineer endorses you. Or if you're an engineer.
Wow, that was worth the whole price of entry today.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you came, and I'm glad I said it. If you're an engineer and an engineer endorses you, that has a stronger impact on the search algorithm than somebody else that's not in your industry. Now, in the background, it's making its own decisions about what industry you're in, right? So it's not a perfect science, but you know, whatever it's decided in the background, whatever industry it's decided you're in, if you can get people to endorse you in those industries, it's going to make you appear higher in the searches. So, for example, for Chris, I have endorsed her, and you can see my little picture right there. I've endorsed her for career counseling, executive coaching, leadership. And so because I'm in coaching, probably that impacts her appearing higher in the searches than some other people that have endorsed her for those skills. So, you know, try to get your colleagues to endorse you. The other thing I want to talk about, I'm sorry, do you have a question?
Yeah, do you have any clue whether or not clients, if quote, clients were to endorse, if it has any extra value?
No, I don't think it does. I don't think it would only, I mean, well, any endorsement has an impact. Any endorsement has an impact, but it doesn't have extra value unless they're in your industry. So if you coached a coach, it would.
You're talking about in the search engine. I would imagine
right.
that if a human looked at it and it said,
yes.
I'm a client, you know,
yes.
that's the human side, yeah.
Right, exactly. Although I think it would be hard for people to see that. It would, I think a recommendation is a whole other thing, right? But endorsements and recommendations are two separate things. So.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so an endorsement is something where you click and it goes on here. A recommendation is a written thing that says, Barry was a really good coach. He really helped me understand, you know, how to find a new job.
Yeah,
so,
thanks for that.
And people do get those two mixed up, and that was something I was going to talk about later. But people get those two concepts mixed up, and you need both. And you need to tell your clients they need both. I highly recommend that everyone have at least 5 recommendations. As a coach, I think you need more than that. I personally have 35 recommendations. You don't need to have that many, but they need to have at least one recommendation on their current job and one recommendation on the job right before that. It doesn't look good if you've only got recommendations on old jobs and none on your current jobs. But endorsements are just these things where they just click and say they know that you did that. And by the way, the reason you get more endorsements on these top skills is because do you guys ever notice when you come into somebody's or that you get these little messages that say, do you want to endorse these people?
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it pulls the top skills. So it pulls the top skills, and then later it pulls the later skills. And so it's pulling your top skills, so that's what people endorse you for. So if you have somebody brand new that doesn't have any endorsements, you want to make sure they put their most important skills up at the top. And if someone doesn't have a lot of endorsements, I have them just delete everything and start again. Because they're going to get endorsements on the things that are at the top, so you want to put the most important skills at the top. And remember last time I talked about making a keyword list, and I said you want to start by putting job titles as your first keywords, and then secondly skills, because job titles are the most important thing, because that's the most important keyword that someone's going to type in to try to find you. So executive coach is more like a job title. Process improvement isn't really a job title. NLP kind of isn't really a job title. Communication isn't a job title, right? But executive coaching is more like a job title. Career counseling is more like a job title. So if you can get the things that are more like job titles at the top, if you can get the things that are the most important thing you're trying to promote at the top, it's better.
Donna, this is Chris. How do you get them at the top? Can you move these around?
Once you've gotten an endorsement, you cannot move it around.
Okay.
So at the bottom, towards the bottom here, like consultant, you don't have any endorsements on. If you had a few down here that you didn't have any endorsements on, you can move those around. But once you get an endorsement, you can't move them.
Okay.
I'm hoping someday that they will change that, and they do make changes sometimes. But right now, once you get an endorsement, you don't. Now, if I were
so Donna,
yeah.
No, go ahead. I think you're about to say what I'm going to ask.
Okay. If I don't answer it, then so for if I was coaching Chris, I might say, Chris, you only have 7 endorsements on these below, or you know, maybe I'd cut it off at 4. I would say to Chris, why don't you write all of these down, delete them, put if consultant was the most important one to you and it's at the bottom, I would have you delete all of them and then put them back in and put consultant first and MBTI last because it wasn't the most important one. I would say give up a few endorsements to get the right one up at the top. And then what I would do is I would tell you, I think you should do an endorsement campaign. And what an endorsement campaign is you go out to a bunch of colleagues, clients, friends, and you say, I'm doing an endorsement campaign. I request of you this big favor, which is go to my profile and click on everything that you feel that you know something about my skill in and click on it and say you endorse me for it. This is a big favor. I'll do the same for you if I can. You know, I'll do something else for you if I can, but if you could do this for me, it would really help my business. Okay, Sharon, did I answer your question?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
If I get a client that has just like a couple even up at the top, I'll say just delete everything and do it again. But with 88, I would not change it. You know, I just I would keep it. But if you, I get somebody that just doesn't have very many, I just say let's delete it and reorder and start again.
So these at the bottom on mine, I could just get rid of them, write them down, get rid of them, and then put something in their place.
Yeah, so you could just and you could decide it, and you know, you could cut off wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I often get with people and I'm like, "Well, why do you have blah blah blah? That doesn't even, you know, sometimes they have something up here even with 53 things, but it's not something they do. You know, they could have, you know, I don't know, fishing, right? And it's like, "Well, fishing doesn't make sense. You could have 53, get rid of it because it's not helping you." So sometimes even when they have a lot of endorsements on something, I recommend they get rid of it. But it, especially lower here, if it's something that you know they really don't do, get rid of it and put something that is really meaningful. Most of the time, they'll have about 10 things here, and we're filling in the other 40. You know, that's and then we put them in order, and then we do an endorsement campaign and get some endorsements. So, any other questions about skills? Really important section. Some people don't even have this section. If you haven't put in your skills, you just don't have it. So we got to encourage clients to get it. I think all of you had it. I think everybody that I saw had it. Okay. I'm going to move on if there's no more
questions. I do have a quick question.
Sure.
The difference between endorsement and a skill, do you have to put the skill in first to get the endorsement, or something endorses
yes.
you then becomes a skill?
No, you have to put the skill in. If you haven't put it in, it's not there.
Okay, then there was something else somewhere along the line that I thought I saw that there was a max of 50-something?
You can only have 50 skills.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you can't have any more than 50 skills. And you know what, over your career, your skills could change. So you may at some point want to delete some of your skills. You delete them, you put new skills in. And that's fine. And somebody could endorse you that you don't want to have endorsed. You can delete people who've endorsed you.
How do you do that?
You can go into edit, and in edit, it allows you to delete them.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
This is such good juju. I get this email just as we're talking from a high-level guy that endorsed two things as we're talking.
Cool. Yay. We love it. And now it just added the ability to say thank you for endorsement. So you didn't used to be able to do that. I would do it. So you can send a note back thanking people for an endorsement, or you could even separately do it. Oh, cool.
How do you do that?
It'll send it when it says that you've endorsed some, you've received an endorsement.
Uh-huh.
It'll say in there, do you want to thank them? And you just click yes, I want to thank them, and then you just write thank you and uh-huh. click send, and it says thank you. But you could also send them a message. You just go to messages and then write a message and send message.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome. I want to quickly talk about another thing that impacts search engine optimization in LinkedIn, which is being active on LinkedIn. And Chris kind of touched on that already. There are 8 ways that I know of to be active on LinkedIn. And people ask me how often I do these. And so I've actually put in parentheses after each one how often I do them. So the 8 ways are to connect to people. So every time you connect to someone, and by the way, this is, I've gone back to the training guide, and I'm on page 10 at the bottom. So these are all listed. There's nothing I can show you, so I'm just going back to the training guide. So you can connect to people, and that is being active. So anything that you do where you're active on LinkedIn, that counts in the search engine, and it makes you appear higher in the searches so that people find you more often. If you revise or add something to your profile, that counts as activity. Write a recommendation for someone, which I think is a wonderful thing to do, by the way, or if you request and get a recommendation, that counts as activity. If you join a group, that counts. If you endorse or get endorsed, and if you write a status update, and if you like a comment or comment on a comment. So let me go back. So I connect to people constantly. I make a change to my profile monthly. I write a recommendation and ask for a recommendation monthly. I join a group monthly. And let me tell you something new about groups. It used to be that you could only join 50 groups. They just opened it. Now you can join 100 groups. And I want to highly encourage you to join as many groups as possible. I was at 50. I will go to 100. Because being in groups also makes you search engine optimized. Because when you are returned in a search, it returns their first-tier connections. In other words, people that they're connected to directly. Then it returns their second-tier connections, which is people that are connected to people that they're connected to directly, and then it returns people in their groups. So if you're in groups, if you're in a group with someone, you're likely to be returned in a search for them. I endorse people weekly, and I do a status update weekly, but actually April does the status updates for me. And let me take you over to show you where you do a status update. So a status update is kind of like a tweet, and you probably go to profile when you come into your LinkedIn, but to do a status update, you click on home, and then you click on share an update. And you just type right here. And for a status update on LinkedIn, you have a lot more characters than a tweet. I think it's something like 900 characters. A tweet is only 120. You can upload a photo. You can put a link out to something, and you know they can look kind of like this. These are all status updates. And it does count as activity, and it also, you know, people do things like promote jobs that they have openings for. They put quotes, they put articles, links to articles in their blog, links to articles that would help people, and so forth in their network. It's a great thing to do. It does take, you know, work. I don't think most people need to do it, but I think as coaches it's maybe a good thing to do. The other thing that they rolled out last year was that you can publish a post on LinkedIn, just like a blog post, you can publish it on LinkedIn. And one thing that's good about doing it on LinkedIn is you've got an instant audience. So I've only done it once, but when I did it, I got 600 views. So now I do have 3,300 connections, so I do have a pretty big, network. But, I don't. When I publish a blog post on my website, I don't get 600 views. So I, think that's a pretty good, pretty good reason to publish a blog on LinkedIn.
Do you know when you do an status update, how do people see it? Do they have to go to your thing? Do they get it automatically if they're in the list or connected?
They send an email out if people will receive it. Not everybody receives them, but they send an email out saying, these are the updates from your network. And if they go to their homepage, a lot of people do go to their homepage and read through. And on their phone, a lot of people do read them on their phone. If they have an iPhone or an Android, they can read them there. So a lot of people do read them. I mean, when we do, because we do a status update every week, and I do get likes every time I publish one, and it's different people every time. So people do read them.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on that? Okay. So being active does also. And Chris, you were asking about Susan Jacob and how she gets viewed. That may be one way. So you maybe want to watch and see how active she is.
I will.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about summaries. And your summary can be 2,000 characters. And by the way, I want to give you a little trick. I'm going to talk about summary, and I'm going to look at my summary, and then we're going to look at a bunch of your summaries. But usually when you come into your LinkedIn profile, you come in and edit view. And when you're in edit view, you don't see your whole summary, and you get a little pencil by you. And by the way, when I work with clients, they don't know this tip. When you want to look at your profile as if other people are looking at it, what you can do is this blue button right here that says View Profile As. If you click on that button, it brings it up as if somebody else is looking at your profile. So that's just a little tip so that you can see it the way other people are looking at it. On page 11, I give my tips for summary. And one of the biggest tips is almost in all cases, we should write our LinkedIn summary in first person. And you can see I've done that in my LinkedIn summary. I am a master certified coach through the International Coach Federation, and my mission is to help leaders be more successful, inspiring, and motivating. I work to facilitate leadership growth using the quickest, most efficient path possible. So there's first person. And the next tip being describe benefits and results you offer. And I'm getting a little bit of feedback. I don't know if somebody needs to go back on mute. Leading is a tough game. You get knocked down from time to time, and having a coach to talk through the politics and personalities can help you bounce back faster. So the bounce back faster is part of the results. As your executive coach, I help you deepen your influence and increase your credibility. Again, benefit within your organization so that you don't get knocked down as often, another benefit, and so that you can win people over and get to your side and get things done, more benefit. So I'm giving benefit. Another thing to do is to tell the story of your career, and I'll give you an example of that. I'm going to show you a professional profile in a minute. So I'm not really telling the story of my career in this one. I'm more giving the benefit to the client. Some other tips are this is a search engine optimization tip. I was told that if you put some keywords at the very beginning of your summary, that can search engine optimize you. So I'm trying that right now. So I've got executive coach, CEO coach, leadership coach, career coach at the very top. I also subscribe to this notion that you can do a little more search engine optimizing by putting another list of keywords in here. Now, what I've done is I've got executive coach here. I've got executive coaching here because some people might type in executive coaching instead of executive coach, just like a different form of the same word. And I don't know if you know the term stacking, but what stacking is just repeating the same word over and over and over and over and over again. And there were people out there that tried that on LinkedIn. There was a lady who kept showing up right above me over and over again in what I was trying to optimize, and I kept getting frustrated because she just typed, I know it wasn't executive coach, but it was something like that, and she just had it, you know, all the way through, all the way through, all the way down. And she did get caught by LinkedIn, and they finally took her down. And I've known several people that have gotten taken down for that. So don't do that. But this is a way to kind of do a little of that without looking too guilty. So don't tell people my secrets, you guys. Also, sprinkle those keywords through, though. So I've got, you know, coach here. I've got the word coach here. I've got the word coach here. I've got executive coach here. Senior executives here. You know, coaching here. So, you know, make sure that you work those keywords into the body of what you've written. And a way to do that, what bloggers do is they write the blog and then they take their keyword list and work it into the blog afterwards. So that's a blogging tip.
I've probably asked you this question before, but I feel like I just never get it in my head. How do you know what the right keywords are for you?
Great question. Thanks for asking it. What you want to do is you want to think about who your target client is, and it may be more than one. I know it is for me. You know, so think about your 3 to 5 target clients, and then think about what keywords would they type into the search bar of LinkedIn to find you. So in my case, I think it's executive coach, maybe career coach. Even better, interview some of those people. If you were looking for me on LinkedIn, if you were looking for me in Google, what terms would you use to find someone like me? And those are your keywords.
Thanks.
But going beyond that, I think in some cases my people might be looking for somebody that works with DISC or looking for someone that was looking for MBTI or we're looking for someone that's working with 360. So it goes beyond just the job title. So the most important ones are job title. But beyond that, there are some skills that they're looking for, right? So it starts with job title and then it goes into some skills. They might be looking for appreciative inquiry or they might be looking for some specific types of coaching like shadow coaching or, you know, they may be looking for someone that graduated from CoachU or CTI. So those are the kinds of things that also need to be on your list. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thanks for asking that. I've talked a little bit about that, but that made me get even more succinct, so I appreciate it. For people who are in job search especially, but sometimes for coaches, using location can be a differentiator that will help them be found. I coach all over the United States. We coach all over the United States. But I do have some niching around the Southern California area, so I've included some locations. Imagine you have somebody that's searching for a job in Denver, and so a recruiter's doing a search. If they do a search for mechanical engineer, they'll get all mechanical engineers all over. If they do an advanced search and they do mechanical engineer Denver, Colorado, if the person doesn't have Denver, Colorado in their profile somewhere, they're not going to end up at the top of the search. But if they have it in there, they will. So that's why I think it's really important to include location in here. And that's why I recommend it. Another tip that I give about all of the summary and the experience is that you want to write for the screen. You don't want big blocks of text because it's hard to read big blocks of text on the screen. So you can see I've got short paragraphs. I've got bullet points. I've got little headers with short little bursts of text. And if we go down into my experience, my first job, I've got a header. Executives, this is what I can do for you. Career transitioners, this is what I can do for you. Inventories, this is the inventories I do. So those are recommendations that I have as well, and also using symbols. One thing about symbols is you cannot type a symbol into LinkedIn, but you can copy and paste it into LinkedIn. And I have a link off my website on Donna Schilder for that, but I also have, you can also just copy and paste symbols from Word. And so those are tips. So before I start looking at some of your summaries, what questions do you have or comments do you have about writing summaries?
Donna, this is Vicki. I have a quick question.
Great.
On the location, would you recommend somebody who's job searching, if they want to target another city,
yes,
how can they get that in there?
They could just put that in there. And so I've had people that would put, Scottsdale, Arizona, Irvine, California, Santa Monica, California. So they can put anything in there they want to. And what I had them do is put areas interested in as a title for it.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Perfect. Any other comments or questions?
Sorry, I just want to say that I think besides keyword search, the short bulleted short things make more sense from a human design, a human perspective. You know, people don't have very big attention spans when it comes to the internet because there's so much.
Yes.
And the other is if they happen to be multitasking and they're on a phone call or do something else, they can like get into their brain one or two things where if they have to read, I don't think it lands as well. So to me, it makes sense.
Yeah, good. And, it's just like in our world, everything's short, sweet, get to the point. Absolutely. Perfect. Okay, good comments. Anything else? Okay. Actually, before I look at Chris's summary, I am going to look at Gail Darby's summary. Somebody on this call will recognize this person. Wanted to show you her background, really great background for what she does. It's, at this point, she was working for a call center. But wanted to share her summary. She's a professional, and she gives a little bit of the example of telling a story of her career. And she writes it in the first person. I am known for being strategic, results-oriented, empowering others, and leading change. 360 survey results indicate that I have the courage to lead the way in large projects regardless of obstacles that others might shrink away from. So I love the way she used a quote from a 360 survey. She could say something more powerful about herself than she could directly. So quotes I really recommend for clients too. I also possess the ability to energize and rally team members to collaborate towards achieving the business vision. I started my career in the rail industry where I was responsible for customer services and logistics. Later, I was recruited by Toyota Sales Motor Sales, where I gained a variety of key skills, including building international relationships. In addition to customer service, I led event planning and marketing efforts for multi-million dollar projects, which contributed to the highest luxury sales since 2008. At Toyota, I have been afforded career opportunities and experience in the following areas of organization: customer satisfaction, learning and development, sales and marketing, information systems. So you can see how she's telling the story of her career. And to me, this is an example of a good summary for a professional. And she used to even have this in here where she talked about riding the rails and being, you know, an engineer. And I really liked it when it said that. But, you know, telling the story of their career is a powerful way to write a summary for a professional. So taking a look at Chris's summary, want to point out that she is using, you know, a lot of space. She's got the header kind of concept here. What does she do for executive coaches, clients? What does she do for career clients? What does she do for job search? She's got the specialties down here at the bottom. And let me just read her front paragraph and point out a few things. From the beginning, as I tackled the business world, I learned the hard way that I needed to be clear about who I was and what I wanted to achieve. I want to make that easier for you so you don't have to make the mistakes I made. As a PCC through the ICF, my mission is to support you in becoming the success you want to be by helping you discover your untapped potential, helping you reach for things you never thought possible, and helping your work flow from your life, not be your life. Coaching services. I do multiple types of coaching, including executive coaching, career coaching, job search coaching. So again, some search engine optimization there. Executive coach. As your executive coach, I can work with you to maintain your competitive edge, manage complexity, drive growth and operational efficiency. So here we're getting, you know, these are the benefits I can bring to you. And I love this last part, inspire and engage multi-generational teams. So you were getting some benefits. Does anybody see anything that, from the tips I gave, anything else that she might want to consider? Okay, the one thing that she might want to consider is having those keywords at the very top, too, because they're saying that that may do some search engine optimization. So that thing right at the very top here.
The problem, though, is that I have 1,999 characters.
No, and I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you should. I'm just giving you, yeah.
Right, and you're right. I should.
No, I don't know that you should. I'm just saying that. I'm just pointing out that's one thing that some people may think that I think this is a great example and really well done.
Thank you.
Let's go down a little deeper. The other thing that Chris does that I think is really great is she's put publications in here, and publications is a section that you add. She's put in a project, and then when she gets into her experience, she's done some good formatting, and she's done really a great job with the job titles. And she does have Glacier Point Solutions as a job, which I'm really excited about. She may want to put a little bit more, like she said, she's going to put a little bit more, like the different kinds of coaching in that one. And she may want to just add a little bit more bullet pointing in some of the things that she's done. So, you know, she's got all the jobs. She's got the history. She's just going to add a little bit more into that. She does have the organizations. She has courses. She's got volunteer work. She's got the certifications. And a tip that I'm going to give about education is you can add some of the actual courses you took under here. And that's more search engine optimization. So like under Coach You, you could add some names of the courses that you took, and that's more search engine optimization. Mm. You may be able to put some of your business courses, and that would be more search optimization as well. And so that's just another thing. And I think I have an example of myself here that I can show you. Yeah, here. So like Coach You, I put all of my courses or a lot of my courses from Coach You. That gives me more search optimization. I did the same thing with my coaching and mentoring certificate. I did that with my professional designation in Total Quality. I did that with my teaching credential. I did it with even my BA. Again, just more search optimization, keywords that people would search for. So a trick that I give my job search clients. Okay, let's take a look at Ariana. She did some work on her headline. Now let's take a look at Ariana's summary. Right off the bat, can anybody see something that Ariana might want to do?
The same thing that you suggested for me, putting the keywords at the top.
Mm-hmm. Can you see anything else? Okay, let me start reading it, and I think something will emerge for you. I support professionals and small business owners to navigate change, enhance performance, and deliver results. Many start their small business for freedom, flexibility, yet struggle to achieve it. Learning how to build a sustainable and healthy business that's able to grow is critical to the long-term survival of your small business. Creating
She's missing the keywords, the coach.
Yeah. So it doesn't say coaching really here, right? So missing the keywords. And then creating a sustainable small business could include building a sales plan. So I think, you know, I can help you, instead of could include, I can help you build a sales plan. It's, you know, it's not saying that this is the result I'm going to give you, right? And then it goes, identifying work that doesn't drain the life out of you or feeling like you're in the driver's seat of your own career. So we went from small business to career. So having that header there that would say, you know, as your career coach, would tell them that, okay, this is what I do for small business, this is what I do for career coaching. And then this next one of the biggest assets of the company or its employees, well, now I need a header that's talking about that I, you know, support employees in a company, right? So those headers would not only search engine optimize it, but would demark that these are different kinds of coaching that I offer. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep, and absolutely.
The other thing that's missing here is that she has a huge sales background. She says she does sales coaching, but she's not giving any detail about the sales coaching that she offers. And I believe that sales coaching is a huge, huge, you know, thing that she'll make tons of money on. Also, I'm not in love with the word free here, so I would change that. She has gone in and changed her job titles. I would like to see in the experience more detail about what she does for career transition, what she does for job search, what she does for executive coaching.
This is Chris. I was very, very surprised at how much space we had in each of our jobs to write all that.
Yes. Yes. It's. I can't remember the numbers, but it's a lot. It's like, is it 9,000 characters?
It's something huge. It's not like the summary.
No, it's a lot, and you know you want to take advantage of that. It's real estate, you know. It's real estate. So yeah, definitely jump into that. The other thing I want to point out about your jobs is that you want to put your jobs in your jobs section. You don't want to put membership. So she's put her membership to NUMMI. She's put her membership to Professional Women's Network in her job section, but that should be under her organization section. And that can make it really hard for people to follow, because being an associate coach for Glacier Point Solutions is a job, and being a manager at Xerox is a job, but being a member in On Startup is a membership. And so that can really confuse. And then being, you know, again, here, client management, that really confuses the flow of the, you know, the job history. So make sure that you add your organization section and put your memberships under your organization section. I would also suggest for her that she put more bullet points under these jobs and build her credibility as a salesperson and sales trainer and so forth. Okay, we're going to look at Gary now. Are you ready, Gary?
Yes, I'm ready.
Love the background. Glad you have a background. That looks great. You flipped your picture, and oh my gosh, how much better!
Oh yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Amazing. How now? So what Gary did was just go into. I'm getting a little bit of feedback. If somebody could go off on mute, but. He flipped his picture. It's the same picture. He went into Photoshop or something like that, flipped mm-hmm. it from looking away from us to looking towards us, and now it's welcoming and warm, and I want to hire him. So congratulations on doing that. That looks fabulous. Great job. And he redid his headline, looking much better there. And let's take a look at your summary. Definitely want more in your summary now.
Yeah, I know.
Definitely want more keywords, but you definitely have some good keywords here. Mm-hmm. What you have, more than 20 years experience encompassing human resources training, staff development, recruiting, and employee relations in diverse environments, including nonprofit, government, manufacturing, and service entities. Great keywords, but you're not describing to us, of course, what you do now. You are doing that here in your first job, so I think some of this that's in here needs to move up into your summary and then and or, you know, you can't duplicate, but you've got a lot of space to tell us more about what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely need to work on the job titles to search engine optimize them. But let's look at what you have here. Here's what I do. I provide emotional intelligence-based corporate culture consulting and training services to organizations. Love it. Probably want to add what types of organizations, just to give it a little more oomph.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I would talk more about what they get out of it, what impact mm-hmm. you have. Because you do this corporate culture consulting, they are more efficient, they, you know, make more money, they mm-hmm. get better clients, I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. I design and deliver soft skills training courses on a wide variety of topics, including communication, leadership development, customer service, conflict, time management. Great, you know, those are great. I would probably break those out and say, you know, when I do customer service training, you know, they get higher customer satisfaction survey results. They get greater customer retention. When I do conflict resolution, it improves their, you know, communication, whatever that is. I love, you know, I use improvisation and role play. I would even, you know, play that up more. I'm an actor and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm trained in improv. And then for you, I would get some video clips in here, right?
Yes.
You know, add some pictures and pictures of you on the stage and some video clips and so forth. Love that you have your jobs in here. Would put more bullet points to build your credibility, but great that you have them. So that's awesome. Would love to encourage you to put Glacier Point Solutions in here, but it's not a requirement.
I haven't done it. Yeah, I need to.
But would love to have you there as well.
Okay.
Let's.
Hey. Question on the videos and or pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So those actually would go right there in that job experience section?
Yeah. So you so let's take a look over here at me for a second. So you can just write when you're in edit mode. Let me go to edit mode. Write in your right here. right when you're in edit, you can just add them right in. They just, it's part of the, so this little icon right here allows you to add in, it just upload a file right here.
I see them. I'm looking at yours and I see them now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
so,
makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So you can add them to your summary. You can add them to any of your jobs, and you do. You can add pictures. You can add pictures. You can add video. You can add links to your website. Any of those things, and it really jazzes you up. It's advanced stuff, but it really jazzes up your profile. I especially, when people are in job search, recommend that they add their resume and or their bio or their CV. And you can add PowerPoints, and that really adds visual, to your profile. So I encourage all of you to do that as well.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Let's take a look at Heather's summary. Heather, are you ready? Oh, I hope Heather's still with us. If not, I guess she can listen.
Sorry, I had to take myself off mute. Oh. Sorry for the delay.
You had to unmute yourself. Okay. So Heather's got a good, strong summary. I'm sure there's a couple things now we know we would want to put some keywords at the top here. We would want to put some keywords at the bottom. We might want to put location because you do in-person work. And we might want to get some headers in here. But there's some things in here I really love. So work is accomplished through relationships. From coaching many individuals and working with a variety of teams, it's apparent to me that work is accomplished through relationships. Technical skills, education, and experience are certainly a must, but it's generally interpersonal differences that causes bumps in the road. Are you a leader who wants their team to be more effective? So what I like is the questions. I think questions are really effective in marketing content. I love that. Is there a team member or colleague whom you find difficult? Have you been promoted into a new leadership role and want to establish a strong, strategic, and effective team? Are you powerless or intimidated by your boss? Solving these common relationship-based organizational issues is where I can help. My creativity and creative and innovative approaches will get you the results you want, whether it's one-on-one coaching, team development, facilitating workshops, or running a retreat. My first priority is getting the outcomes that drive business results. My passions include coaching, leadership development, team development, workshop design and delivery, facilitating and so forth. I'm a lifelong learner, which includes a doctorate. So, there's some really great stuff here. And does improv classes, so, you and Gary have something in common. Love it. My suggestion, and it's just a suggestion, it's great. My suggestion, though, is it feels like having the questions all together is reducing their impact. And so my thought is you may want to consider saying, are you a leader who wants their team to be more effective? And then say, I can help you by, and then is there a team member or colleague whom you find difficult? I can help you by coaching you one-on-one, and we can discover we can do role play. Have you been promoted? So I don't know. I think I might sprinkle the content and the questions together. And then I think more keywords in here, more executive coach, leadership coach, that kind of thing. More specific on the outcome, I think, it will hit your bottom line, or it will, clients I've worked with in the past have gotten X percent more of this, or if there's a way to even put a little bit more teeth in the outcome, I think you'll get a bigger hit too.
Okay, that's good.
I think it's awesome. So awesome job on the summary. And I think I probably would do a little bit more of that in the experience section. I think you still want to go back and work on your job titles, you know, to get the keyword bang for your buck. Love that you have your, you know, all of your jobs in here and what you did. You stayed first person all the way through in all the jobs, and I think that's great. Some people do that. And by the way, going back to one thing I forgot to say is I think first person on almost every summary, and the only place that I don't think people should do that is maybe in really conservative arenas. So I think coaches should have first person. I think solopreneurs should have first person, and almost every professional should. I think maybe in banking, sometimes maybe it isn't a good idea. So, you know, there are maybe a few cases where it's okay to have sort of the bio where, you know, it sounds like it's not first person and all that. But I've seen this where people write first person through the whole thing, and I think it works really well. But, yeah, so Heather did a really good job of putting all of her jobs in here so that she's built the credibility. So, I think that's awesome. She's got her education. I would probably search engine optimize and put more of the courses in here. She's got her certification. She's got her volunteer. She's got her organizations. She's got good skills. So she's doing really good. Okay. So I'm probably going to be able to come back and look at a few more of the profiles, but I want to make sure I get through the rest of the material in the training guide. So if you look at page 15, I do have tips on page 15 at the top on, let me get there too, so we'll be looking at the same thing together. I do have tips on experience. I most of the time just tell the client to copy their resume into their experience. Just take each job, take the job title, and then copy the bullet points from the experience into their LinkedIn profile. The one thing about job titles, sometimes companies have weird job titles that don't really match the real world. And so what I do is I tell them, you can put your job title from your company, and then you can either put a slash or put in parentheses a job title that would be more like the real world. You know, sometimes they either have too low of a job title or they have, you know, a job title that doesn't really make sense. And so they can put a job title that would be something that would mean more something out in the real world. And that's a way to get around that. And also, sometimes they'll have more jobs in their LinkedIn profile than they have on their resume, and that's okay. And one thing that's good about that is people they worked with in the past can find them. Like, you know, I put all the way back to when I worked at Landsberg Productions, and I had people find me that I used to work with on That's Incredible because of it, and that was fun. Also, sometimes we're emphasizing one type of work, or we may have two resumes, one that emphasizes one type of work and one emphasizes another. So we may have more jobs on our LinkedIn profile, and that's okay. So that's kind of it on experience. Any comments or questions on experience?
None here.
Or summary. We good? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Recommendations. So I kind of already said it. I think everybody should have at least 5 recommendations. Help the client understand the difference between recommendations and endorsements. A lot of people are confused by that. If you're, you know, look at the recommendations and make sure they pertain to what you're marketing. Sometimes you have old recommendations and they're what comes up first, and you can take a recommendation off. And that's true for our clients. Sometimes they have recommendations that don't pertain to what they're currently marketing. Sometimes we have coaching, and we used to do life coaching, and that's what comes up, and we need to now change it to executive coaching. I've had coaches that had recommendations that kind of didn't match up to what they were doing for us, and that kind of threw it off, so kind of keep an eye on that. I have some examples of recommendations in here so that you get a feel if you don't have any recommendations for what a good recommendation can look like. And don't be afraid to ask the person to rewrite it if there's bad grammar or if it doesn't make you look good.
Donna?
Yeah.
This is Chris. I remember when we first met back 6 years ago in your LinkedIn class, and you had mentioned that one way is to, when you're requesting it, ask them or write something and say you can change it how you want, but
So a lot of, most of the time when I request a recommendation myself, what I do is write down something that they said about me, and I send that to them in the request. I say, you said this about me in one of our calls, and you can modify it however you want, but I just want to give this to you as a starting point, and or you can just copy it into the recommendation, and that makes it a lot easier for them. And with clients, you can say you could take something out of your performance review or something a customer, you know, had said about you, copy it in, and then just send it to them. And that makes it a lot easier because a lot of times the reason people don't send a recommendation is because they don't have the time to write it. So if you send it to them, then they copy it and paste it in, and it's really easy for them to do the recommendation. Thanks for bringing that up. That does make it easier. And I have had recommendations that I don't put up, and I'm thinking about taking the one that my dad wrote down because it's kind of embarrassing, but I know it'll hurt his feelings. So so I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But don't, you know, feel free not to put them up if they don't make you look good. Any other comments or questions about recommendations? Okay. I've already talked about the education section, but I've got some things there. I've talked about the certifications section. Make sure you have all of your ICF certifications and so forth in that section. I've talked about, did I talk about that I put my podcasts in projects? That whenever I'm in a podcast, I put that under projects. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. But if you are in a radio show or a podcast, you want it somewhere, and so you can put it under projects, and that's a great place to make sure that that is covered. And for publications, I put, when I'm quoted in the press, I put it under publications. I put the real author first, and then I have to have me on there, unfortunately, because it's under my publications, but I put me second, and then I just put part of the blurb from the publication in there, and that way I'm able to show some credibility that I'm being quoted in publications. Okay, let's talk about groups for a moment. I have listed here on number 16 on page 18 all the different types of groups that I can think of, but there are a lot of different types. And I do want to encourage you to join groups, but there are job-specific groups, there's career-specific groups, there's industry groups, there's company groups, special interest groups, alumni groups, company groups, and job search groups. And so you do want to join as many groups as possible. You can change your search bar up at the top here, click on groups, and then once you do that, when you type in something like coach, then you're searching on groups, and it will only return groups, and you can click on group, join group right here, and you will be sending in a request to join that group. Of course, you have to be approved by the person that owns the group in order to get into the group, and you can turn off the all the emails that come from those groups. It's important to do that in your settings up here under privacy and settings. And let me know after the call if you need help with that. And you can also, from a person's profile, you can go to a friend's profile and you can look at their groups and just click on that group and click join. And so if you know a person that you know has a lot of good groups, you can join groups that way.
Donna?
Yeah.
It's the question on groups. If we have up to 100 groups, do you suggest every once in a while adding a comment in one of those groups, or
It does count as activity, so it's wonderful. It's another way to have activity. Groups has not turned out to be what LinkedIn thought it was going to be. People aren't as interactive in groups as they had hoped. One good thing about groups is there are jobs tabs in groups, and companies can list group jobs in groups free, and so they do list jobs in groups, and that's a good thing. But, you know, it is activity, and it is possible that somebody would see it, but groups has not turned out to be what LinkedIn had hoped it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so, Donna, in that case, are you saying that the main benefit of joining groups is for the kind of topics of the groups that you choose helps you be searchable?
Correct.
As opposed to participation.
Correct.
Okay.
And you can search in groups for people. So the main
uh-huh.
benefit of being in a group is being in a group and being found. The second benefit is, the second benefit is you can look in groups and see people, and you can message people in a group directly, whereas if they weren't in that group, with you, you can't. You would have to use an InMail to message them if you're not linked to them. So you can access people more readily in groups. But participating in groups hasn't turned out to be as effective as LinkedIn had hoped.
So any tips on what groups to join? Like how do you choose 100?
If you think about your target market, so first of all, right off the bat, join your alumni groups, right?
Uh-huh.
And join company groups in companies that you were in the past because you want people who you worked with to find you. So right off the bat,
uh-huh.
those two. Join coaching groups because sometimes coaches do help each other. And
uh-huh.
And join HR groups because HR people sometimes hire us. And then think about the industries that you're targeting that you want people to hire you from. And then I would join CEO groups if you're doing executive coaching.
Uh-huh.
Think about the special interests that your target client might have. If you're doing job search coaching, join job search. If you're doing career exploration, join career exploration. If you coach high-tech people, join high-tech groups. If you coach manufacturing people, join manufacturing groups. If you do healthcare, join healthcare groups, you know. So,
yeah. Okay.
You know, try to target your target company. Look for big groups because the bigger the group, so look at how big they are. If there's only 25 people in it, only join it if it's really totally your target market. But you're looking for groups that have 1,000 people or more. Does that help?
Okay, great. Very much. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Perfect question. Sharon's having really great questions today. Thank you for being here. Okay.
My pleasure.
Any other questions?
Thank you for having-
Any other questions on groups? Okay, so that's guidance for, our clients, too, to help them figure out if they're trying to get hired in manufacturing, they need to join manufacturing groups. But they also, there's job search groups, they need to join the job search groups. Okay, so wanted to let you know that there is a Glacier Point Solutions company page, and we would love to have you guys follow it. So if you go to the Glacier Point Solutions page, you can just type in Glacier Point Solutions in the search bar to find our company page. There is a Glacier Point Solutions architecture. Don't click on that one. Click on the first Glacier Point Solutions, Inc. Management Consulting page. We have a page. Would love to have you follow us. You just click on this. We'd love to have clients follow us. We do publish status updates. We do have a description of our company. And when you put in us as a job, this is what you're linking to. So we would love to have you also be involved with our company page. Any general questions? If not, I will go back and review a few more of the profiles.
This is Barry. I have a question about companies. Is there a way to keep my company at the top for the last 20 years but have other ones below?
Yes.
How do you do that
with dates. So if you say your company to the present and then Katie's example, because
July 15th is newer than July 09.
That's why. Yep.
Cool.
Make sense? That solved that problem.
You.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. So let's take a look at Katie. So Katie, got a beautiful picture, by the way. Her summary: I help leaders trust themselves more by supporting them in the integration of their head and heart and how they lead themselves, their life, and their teams. We do this together with regular one-on-one and or peer group coaching meetings that are designed to produce specific positive change in business behavior in a fixed time frame. KDB and Associates-based company providing executive coaching and career navigation services worldwide to small business CEOs, corporate executives, professionals interested in results-focused coaching from the inside out. And so she's got some keywords. I'd like to hear what you guys think we could do differently here. We've learned a lot so far. What can we do differently? Chris, do you have some ideas?
Sorry, I was swallowing some water.
Oh.
I'm overwhelmed with all the stuff that you had mentioned. I do think there needs to be more keywords.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkled throughout.
Okay. And also maybe at the top.
Yes, and saying as your executive coach, as your small business coach,
as your career
coaching
coach.
As your career coach.
Mm-hmm. And Katie does a lot of really great executive. So she's talking about executive coaching, but she does job search coaching. She does career coaching. She's not mentioning it here.
Mm.
And I'm not hearing enough benefit, I think. You know, what do I get out of it? So I'd like to see more of that. But yeah, so keywords possibly at the top, more keywords throughout, more headers, a little bit more content, and then more of the benefit. What are they getting out of it? What where's their pain point, and how are you solving it? And I think she could do the same in that first job. And I think she needs a job search in that first job. She does have Glacier Point, which I love, and I would like to see the job search in here too. She has, you know, Rise Smart. She has her past jobs. But we're getting, you know, now we're getting paragraph and not as much of the bullet point kind of thing, not as much of sort of the you know, the formatting, that kind of thing. So, and I think she could probably go back a little further on her jobs. But some good stuff there. Let's see. Let's do Matt. I have worked in the field of HR development for 16 years. I'm a professional certified coach, own a leadership and executive coaching business. I'm passionate about helping clients clarify their values and natural strengths to design a positive and fulfilling leadership legacy. It's my ability to listen intently, ask powerful questions, see the possibilities, may not have thought of it, makes me a successful coach. So again, more keywords, more what you do, more benefits to the client, right? Kind of a lot of the same things. And then in the experience, a little bit more on the keywords in the titles, and maybe a little bit more bullets on what he has done in the past. So, love having you guys here. Hope this was helpful. Hope you learned a lot.
Oh,
what I'd like to
yeah.
do, Oh, great. What I'd like to do is go around with the people that are left and have you give just a one sentence what you learned from today to kind of summarize. And I'd like to start with Vicki, if that's okay. If you can come off mute, Vicki.
Yes, I just said that.
Yeah, let us know what you learned.
Great session, really jam-packed. And I really love the skills section because I didn't know there was that much meat to the skills section, so that was really eye-opening.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what did you learn about the skills section?
Well, you know, and actually this makes me want to go back since I'm going through a career change, but one of the things about how you've been endorsed and how that ranks your skills and now you kind of have to rework that, mm-hmm. that's a really helpful tip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
awesome.
Too.
Awesome. Gary?
Yeah, so I always thought of the summary as being, okay, summaries are supposed to be brief and to the point. Well, mm-hmm. no, they're not. not on LinkedIn. So, yeah, I definitely am going to, lengthen it and include a lot more. And, I see the point.
That you could really think about your customers sitting in front of you. What would you tell them that would get them to hire you?
Exactly, yeah.
Perfect. Barry?
First person, the difference between the keywords, mm-hmm. got to have some meat, got to have the benefits and what it means to people, mm-hmm. and really the difference between the recommendations and the skills.
Awesome. Chris?
All of the above, which is great iterations on what you've been teaching through the years, as well as about the groups. I really didn't realize we could do 100 groups or how important that can be as well. So thank you for that.
Yeah, and the 100 groups just came out last month, so that's brand new. I don't think I have anybody else on the call. I think that's everybody.
Number.
Oh, yay, number. And remember to turn off the recording. Last time I left it on for 45 minutes. Thank you guys so much for being here, and thank you for taking the time. It's just a pleasure always to spend time with you. And the next meeting, we'll have more time for everybody else to talk and participate. Just a lot of information to go through, and I just enjoy being with you guys so much. The number is 835, that's 835, and you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day, and I'll look forward. Send me an email when you've made some changes, and I'll take a look and give you a little extra feedback. On what you've done, and I appreciate having you here so much. Thank you.